Would you invest in stocks today if you had some
Absolutely.
Cash in the bank?
You would. I am invested in hard assets, I would say, is the best place to be. As the dollar continues to fall, you want to be in hard assets, meaning commodities, precious metals, stocks. Stocks are tied to consumer prices, and stocks are that when people talk about the Dow hitting eventually, you know, potentially 20,000 or even 25,000, it is foreseeable, depending on how low the dollar goes.
What about
so
calamities?
We have to be mindful of that.
What about worldwide calamities like 9/11s that hit the market for a while and then it comes back? I mean, is that something you really can't predict?
You can never predict crisis situations. I've studied crisis situations going back over 100 years in the U.S. economy, and crisis situations always pass. It looks like the sky is falling when they do occur, if we remember 9/11, and things will right themselves eventually after the crisis has passed. The more pernicious, dangerous aspects are non-crisis situations, such as infections within the economic system, mm-hmm. such as the infection that's raging right now as we speak.
What an infection,
it can be much
too.
More long-term.
Yeah.
Sorry?
What an infection it is, too.
Indeed.
Tell us a little bit about you now, your background.
Well, I started in nuclear physics at UC Berkeley, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the challenge, but I found myself spending more time in the business library than in the particle accelerator. So that was kind of a hint that halfway through, I actually wanted to change out and move straight into portfolio management and stock investment. However, I realized that was not feasible at the time, because to get into that field, you really need something to separate. To distinguish you from the rest of everybody else trying to do this. And so I called around, and I was very happy to hear that the O'Neill Organization was interested in me, because he was my number one choice. I had read his book in 1989, which is what put me on the right side of the markets in terms of my own investments, such that in 1991 I created this market timing algorithm. And in 1995, when I went knocking on his door, I was very well received. And so,
did he know of you by that time?
Not at all. No, I was a complete unknown in the world of finance. I was known in science in the sense we did get media coverage on element discovery of 110 and confirmation of element 106. So we were making the papers. And by 1995, I obviously was able to take that with me to get his attention. Otherwise, I think it would have been very difficult. And when he saw my background and the amount of work I'd done in terms of my own research studies on the market and my investment performance since 1991 being my first good year in the markets, he invited me back for a second interview. And that led eventually to a job offer in 1996. From that point on, I rose in the ranks of the company. He started me at the very bottom, and he said, kind of in a tongue-in-cheek manner, he said, "You know, we want you to know how everything's put together. So you're gonna be with everybody, you know, just basically at the bottom rung, and we'll see how you work your way up." Well, eventually, about a year and a half later, after three promotions, he promoted me into the circle of traders that help to manage his own money, which is my main purpose of taking the job in the first place. So that was a great day for me.
Good for you.
And from that point on, I was able to achieve the top returns out of this elite handpicked group from 1997 to the year 2001.
Tell us about the techniques, though, Chris. You know, I'm sure we all can't, study and comprehend immediately everything you've done for your success. But give us some pointers here.
I would say, well, first of all, O'Neill has a big advantage over most portfolio managers, and that is he's a true hybrid. He looks first at the fundamentals, then he looks at the technicals. Most fund managers lean one way or the other, or all one way or all the other way. And when I read his book in 1989, I was skeptical about the markets. I was almost believing in the efficient market theory that you really can't beat the markets, since we all know the statistics that 80%, 85% of portfolio managers can't beat the market. So when I read his book, it changed my thinking because it made sense if you're looking at the fundamentals first behind stocks. So you isolate those stocks with the most powerful fundamental characteristics. And that takes a lot of work. There's nothing easy to that. But if you do that, then you look at the technicals, in other words, the chart patterns of the stocks, to time your entries and exits. You can certainly push the odds so greatly in your favor that you should, if you're executing the strategy correctly, you will come out well ahead of the major market averages in every market cycle. And I've been doing this for 20 years now, but I love being a student of the markets and a market historian. So I've gone back many market cycles, over 20 market cycles to this day, studying this technique and seeing how it worked in completely different cycles and different market eras, because that's how you know a system is going to continue to work into the future. And I've done the same thing with my market timing model as well, which is featured on our website. I love to be able to know that I've got all the odds in my favor as much as possible. So when I created this timing model in 1991, I had gone back about 20 years, and I was very happy with the results. However, going forward in time, I realized that 20 years is not enough time. You really want to go back into entirely different periods to see how the model would have fared. And so I've studied my model, say, in the 1920s through the 1930s Great Depression to see how it held up. And, of course, I was very pleased with the results. That told me that the model that I created was indeed very, what they call, rigorously robust, so that I could rely on it going into the future.
One of the problems I think, Chris, people make, they like to buy a lot of cheap things, hoping that they're going to soar, that they can get them for a deal, some of these penny stocks. Can you really make money in those things?
Again, it's an odds game. The odds are very much against you. As tempting as it is psychologically for people to buy a $2 stock or a 50-cent stock,
right,
thinking it's a very, psychologically it just seems like, oh, for a stock to go from $1 to $4 is a simple move.
Yeah, it looks great to say, I own 5,000 shares of this.
Exactly. You know? It's part of the ego that gets in the way. In fact, I'd like to talk about that later in this interview, but Eckhart Tolle talks about the ego, and O'Neill himself always used to warn us about the ego being one of the most damaging things that can get in the way of success as an investor. And people love to say, I've got 10,000 shares of a 50-cent stock. It makes them feel bigger, I guess.
Sure. No, you're
but
right.
That's very dangerous thinking, because the odds are that for every 50-cent stock that does go to, say, $5 or $3, there's probably thousands, at least thousands and thousands that don't. And who's to say you're going to pick that one, that right one? And you cannot use fundamentals to find the right one, because a lot of these stocks also have great stories. They do have great ideas, but it takes management and capital to make that idea real. Whereas if you have a stock that's trading at $50 or $100 and it's a real stock and you can track the institutional sponsorship, in other words, the big institutions out there like the Fidelities of the world, these are the places that make a stock go from, say, $50 to $100 to $200 in a good bull market. That's where you want your money, because your odds are you're putting your odds in your favor in the greatest way possible, because you've analyzed the landscape. Take Baidu, for instance. You've isolated that to be the leading advantage, and let's say you did this in 2009. You could have done it even before then. And then you take a position in it. You can pyramid that position. In other words, as the stock continues to move in your favor, you can buy it again and again and again using a method I call the pocket pivot method. So that makes sure you're on the right side of the trade, and as the stock goes higher and higher, your profit continues to increase. And incidentally, that's how O'Neill has made virtually all his big money since 1964, when he first landed in the birth control drug company, Syntex.